Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Chof Aleph, and we're holding at the two dots, which are five lines down from the top. So, boy minei Rav Avya Saba mirav Huna. So, we have another question, and that is, we've been talking about what's the din of the various korbanos on Yontev, about your use versus the Hegdish's use. And yesterday we saw that there's a machlokes about how to be Doresh, the Hulavado Yaseh Lachem. Is it Lachem Velo Lagavoa? Is it Lachem Velo Lanochrim? Or perhaps Lachem Velo Laklavim? So we raised this whole issue yesterday. And today we want to get into the question of how exactly to be Doresh that issue. So boy mine Rav Avya Saba, Mirav Huna. What would be the din if you have a behema that half belongs to a goy and half belongs to Yisrael? Would you be allowed to shech that on Yontev for the part that is for you? Because as we saw, you are not allowed to do a malacha for the purpose of a goy. So Rav Huna said, yes, it would be okay. So asks Rav Avya, how do you explain the difference between that and the Nedarim v'Nedavos? Because Nedarim v'Nedavos are also Chetz Yolachem, in a sense, a Chetz Yolagavoa, right? So if Lachem is B'mayit Gavoa, so, and Lachem is B'mayit Nachrim, so then why are you allowed to shecht for the yourself, even though some of it is owned by a goy, and you can't shecht your Nedarim v'Nedavos, which is for yourself, you're allowed to eat it, because half of it belongs to Hegdash. It's exactly the same. So Rav Huna said, look at the birdie. Look at the birdie. Urva Parach, oh my gosh. It's flying right up there. Which means I ain't answering your question. So when poor Rav Avya leaves the room feeling a little bit booshed out, Omele Rabba Bereser, Rabba Bereser, Rav Huna asked Rav Huna, Abba, wasn't that like a big godel ador? Lav Ainu Rav Avya Saba? Isn't that the famous Rav Avya Saba that you, Abba, you yourself told me that he's a great man? He's a Gavra Rabba. How did you like talk to him like that? Omar Leis, Rav Huna says, and what am I supposed to do for a guy like that, okay? I just got back from giving a shiur for 3 hours. You know what I feel like? I could barely stand on my 2 feet, okay? So ani hayom samchuni ba'ashishot, rabduni betapuchim. I'm telling all of the people around me, anybody who cares about me, hold me up, man. Give me some delicious cake to eat. Bring me some coffee. Spread some apples around. I mean, make me feel like a mensch. What does this guy do? He comes in, uboy mine milta deboy taima. He expects me to concentrate, and now I'm supposed to think about his questions. Does anybody think about my cup of coffee and my French pastry? Not a word. I'm supposed to answer. I couldn't answer him. I could barely stand up straight. It's outrageous. Okay.
He did that to Rebbe, and Rebbe said this person. 1980-something.
Right. So, the time am I? But what Lamaisa is the I mean, it was a pretty good question, no? So what exactly was he thinking? It seems to be exactly the same. It's not the same. Because the behema that belongs half to a goy and half to the Yisrael. The reason I said that it's mutar l'shecht b'yom tov is because I can't even eat, believe it or not, one tiny kezias unless I shech the whole animal. I've been working on figuring out a way just to shech the part that I need, but somehow it's never worked. Every time I shech it, I shech the whole thing. So that explains it. But Nedarim v'Nedavos, I am not allowed to shech because none of it, it's not the part that it's for me, none of it is mine. Because when the Kohanim are zoch, who's the shechita being done for? The Kohanim are only zoche in it, and so too the Bailim, once it already went up to the Mizbeach, to the Shamai. So then it's the Iker shechita is being done for Hegdash. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to share with us. Okay, fine. But you're not, I mean, you can't say, but if I want to eat, I need to check the whole thing. It's ridiculous. You're not checking for you. And therefore, the Kohanim and the Bailim Yishulchan Gavoa Kazachu. And in which case, I'm checking only the Gavoa. I'm not checking for me. It's just a result of the fact that Gavoa has it that you're not allowed to do. Omrev Chista. Okay, so I got another question about this. Chetzi Shol Nochri V'chetzi Shol Yisrael. So I understand. Mutar L'Shachta B'Yomtav. Yes. Because Yev Shalak is Ayat Basar Belo Shechita. But I would suggest, taking it a step further, that if you have some dough, which you are joint owners of, you and the goy, You don't have to bake the entire bread, do you, in order for you to have the bread? So you can split it, take the part that's yours, and only bake the part that's yours, and that way not be baking something that is not lachem. So in Isa, which is Chetzer Shel Nochri v'Chetzer Shel Yisrael, over there, you're not allowed to bake the whole thing and then give part of it to the goy, because Efshar Le'Miflag Abelisha, you could still divide it before you cook it. You could divide it while you're still kneading it. And therefore, I would say in that case, that in Achinami, the whole Svara, this is a great example. So here's the practical nafkamina. Masiv Rav Chana Bar Chani Lo'i. The problem is that the Mishnah in Challah seems to be saying, not like Rav Chisda. What Rav Chisda was saying seems to be absolutely implied by what the halacha was, l'gabe yivshar l'kizayas basur b'lo shchita. Because it says over there, if you have an isa that was made for klavim, okay, so this was stuff, this was like a doggy biscuits, which you could buy in the store. And so you had this dough that you were going to be making for doggy biscuits, which is extremely rough to eat. It's got a lot of bran and chaff in it, and so on. So then it depends if it's bisman shaharoin ochli mimena. If it was made without like an overwhelming amount of the doggy part, so that you know when the shepherds get hungry, they'll steal the doggy biscuits and they'll eat them. So then, and especially nowadays, when no one would feed his dog something that he doesn't find to be tasty, so then for sure it's considered to be bizman sharo'in ochli mimena. So then the halacha is, you have to take off challah from it. This is, of course, how the whole discussion starts in the Mishnah in Challah. And once it's considered to be bread, you're allowed to use it for an Erev Chatzeros, and you can use it as a sheet of mavoz, and you say a motzi lachem min ha'aretz, and you make a birchas hazimun over it, and you're allowed to bake it on Yontev because it's suitable for Adam, and an Adam yotze b'yodei chovato b'pesach, if you made it into matzah, doggy matzah, so then you'd be yotze for people matzah if you decide to eat it because it's also able to be eaten. Now, it says over here, you can bake it on Yontem. Well, why do you bake it on Yontem? Why don't we have to split it? Why don't we have to take off the part that is for the doggy and not bake that part? And Efshalayla Miflagabalisha. So according to what Rav Chisda was saying, this ought to be a classic example of where you cannot do it. And yet it's saying over here that you do not have to separate out the doggy portion from the people portion. How do you explain that? Well, that's different because, I mean, supposing you want to eat the whole doggy biscuit, okay? So what's going to stop you? Your bulldog is going to stop you, right? Yeah, but you could always throw the bulldog a bone and then meanwhile gobble up the doggy biscuit and you could keep the whole thing for yourself, correct? So therefore, shiny isat klavim, ho'il ve'efshel afaisan b'nevela. I mean, you could cool the doggy off by throwing him a bone. So you give him a piece of nevela to eat, and he'd be very happy. And by the time he gets back to growl at you, you've already finished his doggy biscuit. So that would be why you don't have to split it with him. Wait a minute. Rav Chisda doesn't hold of that svar of a ho'il, because this is a ho'il. Right? What you're saying is, since if you would have a nevela, you could always throw him a piece of the nevela, and then you'd be able to eat the whole thing yourself. So, but that's ho'il. You don't have a nevela. And Rav Chisda doesn't hold of ho'il, because we have the classic case of ho'il. Somebody bakes something on Yontev for chol. Rav Chisda says he gets malchus, because there was never any heter of ulavado yaselachem if what you're baking isn't for Yontev. Whereas Rabba, this was the classic case of the machlokas about ho'il. It was Rabba who said you do not get malchus. Rav Chisda says you get loka, because he says there's no svara to say just in case Moshe Forman would come in, we'd be able to give it to him. No, there's no such halacha. And we don't say ol mikla le'orchim chazulei hashtanami chazulei. Therefore, you can't be semich on that. But Rabba says you don't give him malchus, because we do say ho'il. So then that means, according to Rav Chisda, you can't use, if you don't have it biyotcha, that you actually have guests, you're going to get malchus. So then over here, what's the answer that since if you had an avela, that's not an answer. He doesn't hold to that. Okay, fine. I change my wording. I don't mean since if you had a doggy bone. I mean since your doggy bone, which you do have, is what I meant. So, but it's talking about you do have a doggy bone. So if you have a doggy bone, you could throw the doggy a bone. And meanwhile, you eat up the doggy biscuit. So Ella could go into eat la nevela. And that what I'm saying is, okay, but lemaisa, you could end up being mafias the kelev with something else, and you could eat up the biscuit. That's why, in this case, we said you can bake it on yantar. Now, there was an actual halacha lemaisa that came up that seems to relate to this question. There were these people who were living out in some small kfar. The Roma la'kimchad b'dei chela, and the government came in with, like, you know, 1,000 soldiers and packs, big boxes of flour and everything, and they told the people in the town that they're going to have to bake all of this stuff for the soldiers, who were obviously, if they have a desire, these were akum. What can we do? Amalahu, Sir Rav Huna told the people in the town, well, if you'd be allowed, in other words, let's say, I mean, you know, even the Goyish soldiers, you know, soldiers, they see the kids, they always take pictures with the kids, you know, show up what kind of nice soldiers they are. So let's say that you would want to give some of the little cakes that you baked for the soldiers, you'd want to give it out to the local Jewish kids, you know? So would they take pictures and they'd be happy, you know? So if they would, so they're not going to make a fuss over giving some stuff to kids. So then what we could say is that every one of these cakes that you baked, well, this particular cake I could go and I give to a Jewish child. So then it would turn out that it's really done for a Jew. And that would mean that I could give this piece to a Jew. And therefore you could bake the whole thing. But if not, then you can't bake any of it, because then you would be baking specifically for the goy. Now, the question is, V'atanya, ma'aseh b'Shimon HaTimni, shelo ba'em shel Beit HaMidrash. So it once happened that Shimon HaTimni didn't show up in the evening in the Beis HaMidrash, and in the morning, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava asked him, what happened? Why didn't you show up? And Shimon HaTimni answered Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, oh my God, did we have a mess? We had this Baleshet Bali Irena. We had this bunch of soldiers came into town just as I was coming to Shir. And they were going to come in there and steal everything we had. Big Shalach Tov et Kol Ha'ir. And this was Yontev. It was the night of Yontev. So what we decided to do is, you know what? We made pretend, oh, we're so happy you're here. We make a big seuda, and we shechted an egel, and we made like a happy seuda. Everybody comes to the seuda. All these goyim eat there, and they're so happy. Tarnum l'shalom. We gave them something to drink at the end. They all went back to sleep, and whew. So we ended up saving the city. Nobody was plundered. Marlos, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said, well, you know, I'm very happy that you saved your city. I hope the money you saved was worth an extra day in hell, because, I mean, you're Mechalo Yontev. I really doubt that you're going to be happy at the price that you ended up paying, because Hare Amrat Torah Lachem, V'lo Lov Dei Kochavim. You were doing this for the Goyim. So how in the world did we say, we just said that it's okay if Rav Huna, if they would give a piece to the kids, it would be okay. So what did they do wrong, according to Rav Huna? I mean, obviously, it was their own egel, so nobody would have complained if they would have given some of the meat to the Jews. So chazil mechominei, and I thought Rav Huna said that if you're doing a malacha that is good for both the goy and for the Jew, so then it would be mutter. So then why over here did Rav Yehuda ben Bava say it's a disaster? Amr Rav Yosef, what, you think they made them a kosher egel? they had an egel they were going to throw out anyway and give to the dogs. So it was an egel, it was a treifa. And therefore, the Jew wasn't allowed to eat of it. Only the guy was allowed to eat of it. Because of that, I was entirely doing lachem v'lo lachem. Okay, even so, I mean, they could have given it to a Jewish dog. So then wouldn't it have been okay? Well, no, because not everybody agrees you're allowed to do it to a dog. So this is good for the question. Is lachem necessarily lachem v'lo leklavim or not? And that gufa is a machlokas. Titanya. Ach asher yachel lachol nefesh hu levado yaseh lachem. Anything that could be eaten by anyone at all. Now, anyone at all, how about a nefesh of a behemah? Is a behemah called a nefesh? Absolutely. It says so beferish. Maka nefesh behemah yishalmena. So here it says anything that can be eaten by kol nefesh. I mean, tell me your doggy doesn't have a soul. I mean, come on, please. That is like, that's the worst thing you could tell a doggy owner, right? So therefore, the nefesh behemah should be included in the pasuk of Asher Yachel kol nefesh. So it says, you might think that it means even nefesh behemah. Can you chenemer maka nefesh behemah yishalmena? Therefore, it says lachem. Ulavado yaseh lachem. Lachem means lachem davka, but not for your doggy. Okay, so then it's gufa coming to tell me that even though from the pasuk nefesh you might think, but you can't do it for your dog. That so says Rabbi Yosef Aglili, but Rabbi Akiva says not true. You can do it for a dog, and you are allowed to actually bake these doggy biscuits for your doggy. Afilu nefesh beima b'mashma. So why then does it say lachem? Ulavado yaseh lachem. That means lachem v'lo l'ovde kochavim. You can't do it for Ovid Kochavim. Well, what makes you darshan it that way? So then, Mara itala rabotet haklavim v'lotziat ovde kochavim. Well, the reason, the klavim, I'm responsible for, right? If it's my doggy, so then I have to take care of him, in which case I should be able to bake his doggy biscuits. And therefore, I am allowed to do it for that. But when it comes to the Mizonot Analecha, but when it comes to the Ovdei Kochavim, Motziani et Ovdei Kochavim, why am I mechuyev to take care and make sure that they have what to eat? Ein Mizonot Analecha. Therefore, you see that we have a machlokas over here, whether you can do for a behemoth or not. Because of that, Rav Yehuda ben Bava, who was upset about the fact that they went ahead and had shechted that egel because it was a treifa, he held that you weren't allowed to do it for the doggies. Masha Einkein, in Rav Shimon HaTimni, he held that it was mutter. Because of that, that's what they did in the town. And now, everything makes sense. So Abaya asked Rav Yosef, and what about according to Rav Yosef Aglili? He says that you're not allowed to do things for doggies. So then how is it that we end up here in Bavel? We always throw the pits of the dates, the souffle, we throw it to the chayuta. How are we allowed to throw it on Yontav? Isn't it mukta? Because basically you can't, they're not ro'oi right now for the behema. So explains Tosfos. The only way that you can actually make these things ro'oi lebehema is you need to cut them up and process them. And then you add them to the animal feed. The animals don't eat. They're not going to chew directly on these pits. So, okay, I mean, it isn't mashma that way in many places. Like we had back in Shabbos and in Erevin. But there are those who hold that since midiraisa would be usur to cook, so the Rabbanan usured moving food that is only animal food. And not roi for humans. Okay, so this is a machlokas we're showing him what the question was. Why would it be muksa? Is it muksa because of the very fact that it's roi for behemah and only for behemah? Or is it muksa because you'd have to do a malacha and grind it up in order to make it roi for the behemah? Anyway, so Rabbi Yosef told him, they're not muksa. They make perfectly good firewood, and they're actually very convenient to throw into your stovetop. So hoil v'chozer lahasaka, they are therefore not muksa. Says a buyer, that's only when they're dried out. I mean, it takes some time for the moist date pits to become usable for firewood. So teinach b'yabeshta, that's all very nice. But what will you say about when they're still moist? So beretif to ma'ikalamimer, how come we throw them out, apparently relying on the fact that even though it's yantav, we are allowed to feed them to the animals? Omalei said, Rabbi Yosef, look, even if they're moist, if you've got a good fire going, you can add them to the fire, and then they dry out, you know, in a second, and then they end up burning. So because of that, they're not muktza. Okay, says Abaya, fine. This is all very nice when it comes to yontav. The fact is that we do this on Shabbos also. So if you're not allowed to burn them, so what exactly is the whole point. I mean, this is a problem according to anyone, because, I mean, certainly, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who's matir on Yontif, the Achilas Kolavim, this doesn't make sense. There must be another Svara over here, because then why on Shabbos is it actually also mutter? How do you explain that? Fine. Okay, so that depends on how we understood the question before. And so there's a machlokas, whether we're asking this Alibid Rabbi Akiva also, or are we asking only Alibid Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that you're not allowed to do it on Yontifs, because that's not considered to be Ro'i Lebehema, and therefore you can't give it on Shabbos either. Answers Rabbi Yosef, I'll tell you the truth. You really are not allowed to move it on Shabbos. The only way that you can get rid of your date pits on Shabbos is you put them on top of a piece of bread, and then you can move them. Now, Tosu says, now, wait a second. This whole business of a piece of bread, that we said, remember, only in very special cases where you need to move a body in order to protect it from the sun, you move a child. I mean, but we don't allow you to move things that are mukta. How all of a sudden are we using the old bread thing in order to move mukta? So Tosu answers, because things, it's true that we don't allow you to use rifta for moving. And we're saying that the pas is choshev, and therefore it's not bato. But that's true that we don't. But in this case, since it only became present on Yontif, because before it was a date, and now you chewed on the date, and now you've got this pit. So something that was created then and there that you weren't able to deal with, there we also allow you to use the bread. And what about Bizoyan Eichlin? No, because we're going to Shmuel. And Shmuel Paskin, that you're allowed to utilize bread for whatever your needs are. Osa Adam Kol Tzorko Bepat. And therefore, you can use your bread to actually move the pits. Okay, getting back to the question. So, we said before that Aliba de Ravuna, you're allowed to prepare the goyish of food if the kids are allowed to eat from it. But not everybody agrees to that, because that is not like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Diyom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, mizam nimet anokhri b'shabbat. You can invite a goy to eat with you on Shabbos, but you cannot invite a goy to your suda on Yontif. Why? Because we're afraid that you might end up cooking more because of your guest, and then you'd be cooking for the goy. So obviously on Shabbos, you're not going to cook. But if you have a person that you feel that you need to show respect for, then we're worried that you may add. And obviously, if you have goyim that are working for you, and over there, they eat from your food over there, we're not concerned that you're going to be marba for your house workers. But here we're gozer. So Rav Huna apparently held, and as long as the Jew is going to be eating some of the food, so then, of course, he apparently doesn't hold that there's a problem. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, you should know that even b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to. I disagree with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. You cannot invite a goyish guest. You know why? Because at the bottom of the cups of wine that these goyim drank, the wine is muksa. And you're going to end up moving them on Shabbos. And therefore, you shouldn't invite them. What do you mean? Why is there mukta and ours isn't mukta? And they're like the filthy cups at the end of a meal. You're telling me that that's not mukta? It's disgusting. Who's going to sit there drinking down the leftovers of the 20 guests' cups? So anyway, it should be mukta, right? There's a big difference. The done, our leftovers, I mean, everybody's got chicken that like wine, right? So then you can always give the leftovers to the chickens. And therefore, it's not muksa. Well, I understand. So if the goy has it, why can't you give the chickens the goyish wine? What do you mean? The chickens are Jewish chickens. They're not going to drink Yayin Nesach. No, that's not the answer. The chickens, you can't feed your chickens the goyish wine because it's osur ba'ana. And then you're going to be nana by giving it as the chicken's food. So they do isirayana. You know, therefore, it's muksa completely. So because of that, says Rav Acha, I don't think you should invite guests that are going to end up creating muksa that people are going to move on Shabbos and they'll be over on muksa. Ask the Gemara, it should still be mutter to move them even if they are muksa, because the tatalino agav kasa. Why can't we move it? Because since the cup itself is movable, so they should both be movable, because didn't Rava say that you're allowed to move the kanuna. The kanuna is the thing that you a brazier. It's called in English. It's what you burn the incense in and so on. So you can move the kanuna because of the ashes, because they're not muktzeh. If they were there for before Shabbos, remember, if you said that you're going to use them to cover up a children's mess or things like that. So it says over here, you're allowed to move the kanuna because of the kitmei, even though there's still things that are muktzeh in it. So then you should be able to move the wine because the cup isn't muktzeh. So Tosfos points out that obviously these are opposite examples. One, it's the cup that's okay, and the other, it's the contents that's okay. But the point is, as Tosfos points out, the point is that if you have basically one out of two things that it's movable for, so when something happens on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, so we allow you to move it, fine. So then over here we should be allowed to move the leftover wine because the cup isn't muktzeh. So one way or the other, you have something that is movable. Answers the Gemara, it's not the same. In Rava's case, the pieces of broken kitme that we have in it, Shivrei Eitzim that we have in it, are not Isra Hanah. But over here, we're talking about the wine, which is Mamash Isra Hanah. Isra Hanah is more muktzah. And we know that there is a concept of more muktzah, because I mean, that was the whole point of the various levels of Yisurei muktzah that we're geyser. How much off limits are they? So something that's Isra Hanah, just like there's a concept of a muktzah, machbis chisar and kiss, that you're very machbid not to move those over there. You're not allowed to move them. Letzarech mekomo, letzarech gufo, and so on. There's different levels of muktzah. So because of that, something which is Yisurei Hanah is more chomor, and therefore you can't rely on the wine. Says the Gemara, but there's another reason. Isn't the halacha that when you have something disgusting, even though it's muktzah, you're allowed to move it? You have a garbage pail. The garbage pail is full. The garbage pail is certainly muktzah. You don't want to use the stuff from the garbage pail. So why are you allowed to take out the garbage on Shabbos? So we saw that many times, that idea. It's called a gerev shorei. It's called basically a chamber pot. And it's something that is disgusting to have around. You're allowed to move because the Rabbanan wanted you to be able to get rid of things that are antithetical to your covered Shabbos and covered Yom Tov. So therefore, I should be able to move it because I want these filthy cups over here with the Ainesich in it and so on. I mean, why can't I just move it away? Omar Lay, it may very well be true that you can move it away if it's there, but we don't allow you to do something that's going to create the Gerev Sharei Lechatchila, in order to be Semichon, the Vechiosim Gerev Sharei Lechatchila. I mean, over here we're telling you that you're claiming we should be allowed to invite the Ovi Kachavim and then be Semichon the fact that he's going to leave us over Gerev Sharei. That you can't do. That's what he's dining. Adabre Rava Lamar Shmuel. So once Rava was walking, he took Mar Shmuel on a walk, and he said to him, Mizamnim et anochri b'Shabbat. You can invite a goy on Shabbos, but ain mizamnim et anochri b'Yom Tov because of the gezera shebe yarba b'shvilo. But this chashash over here that you're going to end up moving the servants, mutz and whatever, that I don't hold up. Maremar umar zutra, they had a way to avoid that problem even on Yom Tov, because if a goy ended up coming on Yom Tov, so miklu nochri b'Yom Tov, so it would be very impolite not to invite the guy in. I mean, we're about to sit down to a meal. This good, friendly guy walks in. I mean, so what they would do is they would say to him like this: if you're happy, if you're happy sharing our fare with us, we're very happy to have you join us, muta. But we need to warn you, we cannot prepare anything special in addition for you. We're simply not allowed on our holiday to prepare something for you. Okay. Halacha l'maisa, this is actually okay to do, except that there are some who are making it even further. And they tie in that if a person that you didn't invite, the guy knocks on your door and he comes in, So then you don't even have to say it because it's so borer that, okay, we're ready to share our fare with you. You don't have to say to Beferish, we wouldn't make anything for you, you slob. Because that's taken for granted. If a guy knocks on your door and like, you know, and you're being very kind and you're inviting him, so then you could rely on the very fact that he understands that he's in a nechut position.